This is 88.5 FM. I'm Andy Chanley, and I'm really excited to have Bob Mould joining us for a live session. Welcome in, Bob.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me.
You've got a new album coming out. It's actually out now, out today, Sunshine Rock. And you're in concert here in town. You're going to come back and be with us on March 1st at the Terragram Ballroom. But I always hate making people wait very long for the music with one of these things. The new album, will you favor us with a song of it?
Yeah, let's play a song off the new album. This is I put this one in the three spot, as I call it, on an album. I always think that the magic song or the hit single should actually be number three, because I sort of grew up with the 60s mentality.
Right, so. That formula.
So yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But anyways, let me try this one out for you. It's a new one off the album. It's called Sunny Love Song.
We started out so awkwardly. There was rain and cold and dark. Wondered why I left the sun behind me. No more brownies in the park. It's a long, long way from California to Berlin, soft filled with melancholia. Winter came and paralyzed me. Drive my gravel over ice. Like a polar bear crawling to the tundra, some penumbral paradise. As I make my way to pen and paper, my guitar, some weed, imagination. January days blending into gray. But when the magic comes, the clouds get blown away. My troubles, they are ending. My worries, they are few. Look for brighter, sunny love song every day. I can shine so bright on you, so true, yeah.
Sunny Love Song from Bob Mould. That sounds like the weirdest sentence I've ever said. This new album is out, Sunshine Rock.
Yeah.
And this is the happiest I've ever heard you from Husker Du and Sugar and any iteration of your career. You seem like you're almost joyous on this record.
Well, make it a conscious effort to write in that direction. You know, the previous two albums, Beauty and Ruin in 14 and Patch the Sky in 16, were both sort of writing, you know, in the wake of losing my parents one after the other. And, you know, when it came time to write this record, I'm like, you know, no matter what happens, really should probably try to write something a little more optimistic. I started writing this album in Berlin, Germany, in the end of 16. And around spring of 17, maybe the summer of 17, the song Sunshine Rock made itself known to me. And, you know, I think with most albums I make, I have a sort of a general idea of what I'd like to do. But when I get what I call the tent pole, you know, the thing upon which I drape all the other moments, when Sunshine Rock appeared, I was like, this is a good plan. I like this idea.
Keep following it.
Keep following it and then keep reminding myself day in, day out. Put up post-it notes and all that kind of stuff.
I read something you wrote about the title cut on your blog, and I really love this. Read it real quick. When I share a song, I'm always nervous. It's similar to the preparation for a first date. Put on my nicest clothes, check my ears and nostrils and eyebrows for stray hairs, make sure my teeth are clean and my breath is fresh. With albums, however, I spend 2 or 3 years getting ready for that one night, the first impression, that solitary chance. I hate to say it, but it's true. You don't get a second chance a lot in this business, do you?
No, not these days. I mean, everything has changed. You know, there's so much competition. There's so many people making great music and so many people making average music, and you know, listeners have so many different ways to find things. Grateful for stations like this, you know, that have personalities and, you know, playlists that make sense for the audience. But yeah, you get about one chance.
I'm not going to quote you all afternoon, but I liked what you also wrote on that blog. You said, as a song was about to go live, I started having questions. Will people think I'm serious because of the cheery nature of it? Will people think I'm ironic? Will people think it's tongue-in-cheek? But the reaction was really overwhelmingly positive, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think in the face of all that we have gone through recently, you know, as a nation and as a, you know, as a world, to, you know, for me to write in that direction, I mean, you know, when I was young, beginning in Husker Du in the 80s, there was a lot to be upset about. There's a lot of things to protest. You know, it was the Reagan era. That was the beginning of you know, the AIDS crisis. I mean, a lot of these things affected me directly. And the songs I wrote back then, I bring those songs with me. But, you know, damned if I was going to give this bunch any lip service. And I really felt, you know, I really felt like,
let's just change the subject entirely.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I felt like, you know, maybe, you know, this optimism will be good. And like you said, I mean, I sent this record to two pretty close friends, one a great musician and one a great journalist. And they both thought I was being ironic until they heard the record. They said, "Oh no, you, this is for real." And I said, "Well, I'm sure people thought this would be, ha-ha, Sunshine Rock, it's going to be darker than Black Sheets of Rain," but no, right. That's really what it is.
Do you think that's because of the comparison of you, like, as a comparison to your street cred as this, you know, punk alternative icon, or is it just our cynicism as a people that we don't expect people to be serious when they say, "Have a nice day"?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think maybe a little bit more of the latter. I think the former, me as a musician, you know, punk rock, miserablest, dark side guy, whatever. Yeah, I mean, those things are there, and that's cool. I know I shattered all that just for a brief moment with this record. You know, I'm sure someday I'll go back to it. But for right now, yeah, try to be happy and whatever, you know, whatever I can do to try to make everybody's day a little bit more generous.
The Miserablest is a great album title. Keep that in your back pocket.
Yeah, me, Morrissey, and Krista Jones.
Can we get another song out of you? I heard we can talk you into playing a Sugar song.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I could do... This is one of my favorite... Like, people always say, "What are your favorite songs?" You know, and they're like kids. They change all the time. But this one, Hoover Dam, is... It always sits right at the top of the pack. Not number one all the time, but always in the top five. I love this song. So let me get this thing. Should I get this thing ready for you?
Do it. This is Bob Mould with Hoover Dam live on 88.5 FM.
1, 2, 3. Standing on the edge of Hoover Dam. Yeah. I'm on a center line right between two states of mind. And if the wind from the trap, it should blow me away. Oh, yeah. From this altitude, we'll come back to you. And do you know the time, yeah? And all that's left of me is slight insanity. What's on the right? Don't know if the Mississippi should wash me away, yeah. Down to New Orleans, maybe someday in my dreams. Will I wake peeling the sweat from the Gulf in my mouth? Oh, yeah. on a carousel. I can never tell my direction under. Spinning down a hole, losing all control. I'm down to the center, oh, and caught up with lava. And I feel fine, yeah. Washes over me, keeps me feeling warm at night. And if you made a deal with the guy with the horns and the cape, oh, here, oh, here, I'll see you later, standing on the edge of the Hoover Dam. I am, oh, yeah, oh, I'm standing on the edge of Sam, I am, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm standing on the edge of who but Sam, I am, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm standing on the edge of who but Sam, I am.
That's Sugar from the Copper Blue album, 1992. We're joined by Bob Mould here for a live session. He's got a new album out called Sunshine Rock, and he'll be back in town on March 1st. You seem to me like a guy that has a long history of giving almost zero F's about what people think about you or what they expect about you. And I don't think I have to tell people about Husker Du starting in 79 and bridging hardcore punk to alternative. I mean, there are bands like Nirvana who say there would have been no grunge or alternative movement in the 90s if it weren't for your band. And then you decide to go solo, and you do the magnificent Workbook album, and then you try, we just heard a song from Sugar. Do you think that any prolific songwriter is destined to eventually become self-employed, to go off on his own? Is it one of those things where creativity and teamwork don't mix for very long?
Well, I think coming out of Husker Du, which was 8 very intense years, it was my first band, it was all I knew. You know, it was an amazing situation for years. And then, you know, the healthy competition and sort of the F the world thing, you know, when the world becomes a major label and gives you a bunch of money and people start pouring sand in the, you know, in the gas tank a little bit, you know, and they become self-aware and all those things, you know, happen and people grow apart. That's when you become, you know, a singular voice. I didn't see that coming, but when I got there in 88, you know, living on a farm in northern Minnesota with nothing but guitars and a couple dozen showbirds running around laying eggs and some apple trees, it's like, well, this is my chance to redefine who I am, try to learn a new musical language. And Workbook was a real special record in 89, and that, you know, set the stage for, you know, a lot of things to come.
Well, you do see a little light?
Sure, why not? I love it.
This is Bob Mould on 88.5 FM.
There's music in the air. I heard your voice coming from somewhere. But look how much we've grown, yeah. I guess I should have known. Alright, last year's goodbye. They take the toll on you. Think of all the things you wanted to do. All the words we said yesterday, that's a long time ago. You did it, it got really go now. Are you waiting? I know why. You're already saying goodbye. Are you ready? I know why. I see a little light. Know you well. I can see it in your eyes. No use to care. go, should you say so, yeah, yeah. Oh, alright, will I see a little light? No, you will, I can see it in your eyes. No use to care, 1 minute ago, should you say so, yeah. Oh, now yeah. Are you waiting? I know why you're already saying goodbye, yeah. Are you ready? I know why, yeah. Ooh, oh, well, I see the light. No, you will, I can see it in your eyes. No use to care, I see a little light. No, you will, I can see a little light. Oh, well, I see a little light. No, you will, I can see it in your eyes. No use to care, 1 minute ago, should you say so, yeah. Oh, now, well, I see a little light. No, you will, I can't see it in your eyes. No, you still care, oh, I made a go to say sorry, yeah. Oh, now, well, I see a little light, yeah. See it in your eyes. No, you still care, 1 minute ago, yeah, to say, so, yeah, yeah.
See a Little Light from Bob Mould's Workbook album in 89. You're listening to a live session here on 88.5 FM. I remember playing those records on the air as a DJ in Indianapolis back in the early 90s. And I heard a story. Tell me if this is apocryphal or if this is true. I heard that you were working on a new album and that you were dissatisfied with it and bulk erased the whole thing and started over. Did that happen?
Yeah, that actually did happen. That was the final Sugar studio album called File Under Easy Listening.
Right.
It was in the spring of 94. We had been working away, the three of us, me and David Barbie and Malcolm Travis, we were working at a studio in suburban Atlanta and spent the better part of 2 months banging our collective head against the wall. Nothing was working right. Nothing felt particularly inspiring. So just erased everything, took a week off and went back to a little tiny studio in Austin, Texas called Cedar Creek and reconstructed the record out of sequence, you know, guitars and then, you know, with click track and vocals and then putting drums last. And then we were, you know, it was like, wow, that sort of, we saved that one.
I picture the story of Daniel Lanois finding Brian Eno about to press erase on the Joshua Tree and catching him and stopping him. I think maybe for the rest of us, you might have been, there might have been some gems in there that you...
It was all the same songs. It just didn't sound right. And at the time, I think I might have been hyper aware of what I was supposed to be doing instead of just letting it be what it is. That sometimes happens to us. It's, you know, see prior comment about sand in the gas tank.
Right. Talking about that, about inspiration, you live in Berlin now?
Yes. Yeah, spent most of the last 3 years in Berlin. I still have my place in San Francisco, but yeah, a couple of years ago, I got my residence permit.
How's your German?
For Berlin. It's not good.
I read also in your blog about the title cut we were talking about earlier, Sunshine Rock, and you said the six-note signature melody was inspired by bells of a nearby church there. And I was thinking David Gilmour recently did that song, Rattle That Lock. Mm-hmm. And it was because he was standing on a platform in France, a train platform, and he heard the French railway, and he got that in his head and couldn't get it out. Mm-hmm. And that was inspiration for a song. You kind of did the exact same thing here. Would Bob Mould of 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago have had the patience or the be present enough to be able to do that?
Perhaps, but I mean, the bells in Berlin, I mean, this particular church is the Kaiser Wilhelm Church, which was the church that had the terror attack
a couple
Christmases ago. I mean, they're just majestic bells, and they have these tones, and they use specific tones for specific events, weddings, funerals, high holidays, and stuff like that. So I'm sort of used to those notes going by all the time. The church that's there's one further down in my neighborhood that's crazy. It's a Catholic church, and every time I step within two paces of the front door, the bells go off.
Wow.
Without fail. And it's like it's my route to the gym every day, so it's like I can't really not go by it.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, it's I mean, it's a Berlin's a great city, amazing history. You know, just amazing culture and lots of church bells.
Can we squeeze one more song out of you?
Sure. I want to play one of my. Well, it's one of the easiest ones for me to play, actually, despite the complexity that you may perceive. It's off the Silver Age album, which was sort of the beginning of this decade's, I guess,
half dozen years ago. Yeah.
Resurgence, reentry, you know, sort of people reentering my world. I love that record and I love the song. It's called The Descent.
Bob Mould on 88.5 FM.
Started out so starry-eyed, full of hope and wondering. How a flap was in my hair, not aware I'd been defiled. Every time I see you, I know it's going down. How can I believe you? Karma comes around. I know this ride. You must be there by my side. You going down. I must be descending. Didn't wanna play the song that gave people so much hope. Well, my back thrown away. Here's the rope that made me choke. Every time I see you, I know it's going down. How can I believe you? Karma comes around. You can't see it in my eyes, can't read it on my face, and hear it as I cry. Oh, I hope it's not too late. Oh, yeah, yeah. Make it up to you somehow. Yeah, make it up to you. In my eyes, can't read it on my face, can't hear it as I cry. Oh, I hope it's not too late. Oh, girl, oh, girl, make it up to you somehow. Oh, girl, oh, girl, make it up to you somehow. Now my race finally run as I tumble to the sun. All these things can't achieve brought me crashing to my knees. Now descent now begun. All the music left undone. Oh yeah, yeah. My world it is descending. Oh yeah, yeah. Wealthy is descending. Oh yeah, yeah. Wealthy is descending. Oh yeah, yeah. Wealthy is descending. Oh yeah, yeah. Wealth it is descending, yeah.
You're listening to The Descent from Bob Mould off the Silver Age album from 2012. He's joined us today at 88.5 FM for a live session. He's got a new album out. Thank you so much for
Andy. It's always fun to come by. I love the station, and thanks for the support.
Well, album comes out. Get it. It's actually out now. Get the album Sunshine Rock wherever you buy albums, and then get a ticket for the show. It's March 1st at the Terragram Ballroom. We're going to hear more from you, aren't we? You're on the new Ryan Adams album?
That's what he tells me. No, I've got a little guitar cameo towards the end of the album, which I don't know which spoilers I can let out, but you said it, and it's for real, and look forward to Ryan's. His record's April, I think.
Yeah, so, it's in a couple of months, cool. Yeah. One last thing. You sound the same. You sound exactly the same. Your voice has not changed at all. Do you feel like have you always just been yourself, and so it's easy to be that, or?
I am who I am, and thanks for the kind words. You're getting me before 3 weeks of touring have gone by, and then I will sound like somebody completely different and much older. So,
Bob Mould, thanks for joining us here on 88.5 FM.
Thanks.